Hey, okay, good to see you guys today. How's everybody doing? Week. That was week, guys. How we doing? We want to sound like we know Jesus. We want to live like we're going to heaven, right? We want to share with people like we know what we're talking about. So, you know, the Lord's been so good to us. He's been good to me. We always say, you know, yeah, Lord's been good, better than I deserve. That's for sure. That's what grace is, right? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor with God. Just getting blessed by God for no good reason at all. And people can relate to that. What if the Bible said something different? What if the Bible says, yeah, you only get God's favor if you do enough good stuff? Who's down with that? Anybody? Anybody like, yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that one. Me either. If we had to earn God's favor, we would all fail miserably. That's why God's grace is so important, and his mercy. And by the way, his mercies are new. How often? Every morning. Why? Because they need to be. When you wake up in the morning, man, I need mercy. I need grace today. And so God's got plenty of it. He'll never run out of mercy and grace. And so hope that you've experienced that this morning already. Hey, we're diverting from our study in the book of Acts today. And Dan knows that now. I didn't tell you, huh? Genesis chapter 43 is where we're going to be this morning. There's a lot of things going on in our world right now that are upsetting. There's things that are happening perpetually that are causing many people a lot of stress. People are feeling strife, kind of overwhelmed, overpriced. Things are just not as good as we'd want them to be, for sure. However, you know, the bigger problem is not that the things that are happening are wrong, or that there is this thing over here in my life that's not quite working out or whatever. Those things are all part of life. You understand that. But here's the issue, for me at least, and maybe you can relate, and we're going to look at a story that I think conveys this. But at the core of all of our anxiety, all of our turmoil, all of our disappointment, all of the stress of life, the bigger problem is not the thing that's wrong. It's the fact that I can't control it. That's where anxiety, stress, disappointment, all the issues that we face, that's the problem, is that I can't control that thing. And who doesn't want to control the universe, right? Seriously, I mean, if we could control everything, wouldn't we? And we make an attempt to do this. We try to do this constantly. We're trying to control the situation. But when you come to a place where you realize I can't control it, wow, you start to realize, oh, I don't know what to do. I can't handle this, right? And it's true, though. I mean, we can't really control much of anything, right? It's out of our control, we say. And that's a problem for us. And I want to look at a story in Genesis 43. It's speaking about the patriarch Jacob. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob means tricky guy, kind of slippery. And Israel means governed by God or ruled by God. So his name was changed. And that's a great part of the story. But in this particular context, there's a famine in the land of Canaan, where Jacob and his 12 sons have been living. Now, to get us up to date before we get into the first part of chapter 43, I just want to set the stage here. Jacob's sons, 12 of them, were the tribes of Israel. They would become the 12 tribes of Israel. But at the beginning, there was one of the sons who was born of Jacob's favored wife, Rachel. She was the pretty one. He also married Leah, who wasn't such a pretty one, but had way more kids with Leah than with Rachel. She only had two kids, Rachel did. One was Joseph, the other was Benjamin. Joseph was the favored son of Jacob. He was the one that Rachel first gave birth to. So, and the brothers all knew that Jacob favored Joseph. He gave him a coat. We call it the coat of many colors. It's really a coat with big sleeves, which spoke of authority. He gave Joseph this coat of authority, and his brothers were jealous. So much so that when they're all out tending to their duties, the brothers came up with a scheme to sell Joseph to a caravan of Egyptians that were going by. They threw him in a pit. They threw him in a hole. And then basically the Egyptians just took him as a slave. They went back with some bloody clothes of Joseph and told Jacob, this is such a mean thing to do. They take these bloody clothes back and show Jacob, the father, look, we found Joseph's clothes. They're blood soaked. I mean, he's dead. Some animal ripped him apart. Jacob's just torn apart. He's grieved because his favorite son, right? Now, the famine comes, and you know the story. We're not going to go into the whole thing, but you know the story. Joseph did get sold into slavery. However, he's a man of such integrity and character that even as a slave, he ends up gaining and finding favor with anybody he worked with, right? He worked for a man named Potiphar, whose wife accused him of coming on to her when actually she was coming on to him. Remember that part of the story? And so he gets thrown in jail. He gets thrown in prison, where through a divine turn of events, God has Joseph go from the prison cell one day to the palace of Pharaoh the next and become second in command of all of Egypt in one day. Man, you don't think God can do miracles? That's a big deal right there, right? I'm in a dungeon one day. I'm sitting in the palace. I'm second in command of all the whole country I'm living in. So that's the story up to that point. Now, Joseph was blessed by God, and God showed him that there was a famine coming. So Joseph had gathered all this grain and stored it away in these granaries, preparing for this long period of time where there wasn't going to be any food, right? He was wise. And so now, when the people of the other countries, including Canaan, are going hungry, now the famine's starting to get pretty severe, people are hearing that there's food in Egypt. So they're making their way there. Jacob has already sent his other 10 sons to go get food, to buy grain, buy food, provision from Egypt, which they have done. So far, we're at that point in the story. And they meet with Joseph. They don't know who he is, but he knows who they are. He looks like a prince, right? They thought he would be at least a slave or maybe even dead by now. But he looks like a prince. And he knows exactly who they are. And he questions them on that first trip. And he says, hey, do you have a father? How is he doing? Right? He wants to know how his dad's doing. And they say, oh, yeah, we have a father. He's doing fine. He's healthy. Do you have any other brothers? Now, this is where the story gets interesting. There is another brother. Who is it? It's the other brother, other son of Rachel, Joseph's pure brother, Benjamin. He's back home with Jacob. You know why? Because Jacob wasn't about to let Benjamin go anywhere with those other brothers. Why? Well, what happened to Joseph when he went with those guys? He never came home. So at this point in the story, this is where they're at. They've gone to Egypt. Joseph, though, before they leave, he says to them, hey, why didn't you bring your younger brother with you? And they're kind of saying, well, you know, things just aren't working out to bring our younger brother. And they don't really go into detail. But the point is that Joseph wants him to bring the brother. I want to see your other brother. If you're telling me the truth about what you're saying, you'll bring your brother. And to keep you honest here, I'm putting one of you in prison. So he puts Simeon in prison, puts him in jail, and says, if you want bread, corn, anything ever again, you want to see me, you want to talk to me, you want to get Simeon out of jail, you're going to have to bring that younger brother of yours to see me. So this is where they're at. And they go on their way home, and they discover that all the money they paid for all that grain was still in their sacks, which scares them to death because what happened? How did their money get back in our sacks? They're going to find out, and they're going to arrest us, right? Well, it was Joseph. He put the money back in their sacks. See, Joseph doesn't have a root of bitterness in his heart. He is going to bless this family, his brothers, the ones that sold him out. Joseph's a great picture of Jesus Christ, who was sold out by his brothers, the Jews, right? And yet, what turned out to be the biggest blessing ever came through this tragic thing that takes place. It's the same with this story. So as we pick this up, this is what happens, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 36 of the previous chapter, just so we have some context. So they have come now, they've seen the money in their sacks and all the rest, and Jacob, verse 36, their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. Now, Simeon's back in Egypt in jail, and you will take Benjamin away? Because they told him what happened. They told him, you know, this guy wants to see Benjamin. That's the deal. He wants to see Benjamin. And Jacob says, and now you're going to take Benjamin away? All these things are against me, right? And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. So the brothers are trying to comfort their dad. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. You know, I'll take care of him, Dad. You'll see here in a little bit, Judah's going to offer the same thing. But he says, Jacob says, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him, by the way, in the which you go, then shall you bring down on my head gray hairs of sorrow to the grave. It'll kill me if I lose Benjamin. Now, this is where we pick this up, and I'm going to read first 14 verses, and we're going to talk about this. So what happens next is verse 1 of chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. Now, I think it's interesting that nobody's seemingly concerned about Simeon. Remember back at the ranch, Simeon's in prison in Egypt. But it's only when they run out of food that they seem to be concerned about poor Simeon, right? So Jacob says, hey, go buy some food. This discussion they had earlier kind of has gone by the wayside, kind of forgotten. Judah then spake unto him, saying, well, you know, the man, talking about Joseph, the man did solemnly protest, saying, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. I mean, Dad, you know, this is what the guy said, if thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. We'll go if we can take Benjamin with us. Otherwise, the guy told us straight up, you're not going to get anything anymore. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. That's the deal. That's the condition. If he doesn't go with us, we aren't going. It's a waste of time. And Israel, that's Jacob's name now, Israel said, wherefore dealt you so ill with me as to tell the man whether he had yet a brother? What did you open your big mouth for? Why did you even say you had another brother? Good question, actually. Right? Why did you say anything? And they said, well, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? He asked us straight up, like he knew already. And we told him according to the tenor of these words. By how he said that, we knew we better tell the truth. Dad, it's almost like he already knew the answer. He did, of course. So we told him according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? Could we know that he would say, hey, well, yeah, bring that brother back with you? So Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. We need provision for our family. I will surely be a surety for him of my hand. Shalt thou require him? If you want to give him to me to take, I will be the guy responsible for him. I will be the one that you can hold accountable for this, right? I will bring him back to you, he says. And if I bring him not and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. I'll take the blame. I'll take the whatever the punishment would be for that, Dad. I'll take it. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. We stayed away quite a while, and we ate all the provisions, so there's only one thing to do. So their father Israel said unto them, if it must be now, do it. This, go ahead, do that. Do what? Well, take the best of the fruits in the land of your vessels, carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take all the money back that you, and take more money to buy more stuff. He wants to make sure this doesn't happen. And then he says in verse 13, here's the milestone, take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Okay. It's kind of like, if this is the way it has to be, then so be it. If I lose everything, if I lose everyone, I guess that's the way it goes. Now, this is the point where we have to stop and consider a couple of things. And I want you to pray this in. I want you to think this in. Jacob has an issue. His name is Benjamin. He doesn't want to give up Benjamin. He doesn't want to let him go. He believes, he feels that Benjamin is all that he has left. I'm not sure what that says about the other brothers. But as far as Jacob's concerned, he doesn't care if they all go back and get more food. He just doesn't want Benjamin to go back. And releasing Benjamin is the issue for Jacob right now. And it can be an issue for us. And I'm just going to ask you as we go through this, start thinking about, what's your Benjamin? Benjamin was a reason for Jacob not to fully trust the Lord. As long as I've had Benjamin, be okay. You guys, you can go. But leave Benjamin with me. He's special. He's the thing in my life that means everything. And this is why Jacob's in this particular predicament. This is why he's in this situation. Why? Because he doesn't really trust the Lord. He's trusting that his clinging to, his hanging on to Benjamin is what really will get him through. And that's why he says, if I'm bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved. If I lose this, I guess I'm just losing it all. But this is fascinating to me because I started thinking this through and I believe it's the problem for many. And I'm talking about Christians, believers, not just people in this world. The people in this world are going through stuff. They're going through all kinds of things just like we are. But it's interesting to me that this is pinpointing, this is directed to those that do know the Lord. Jacob was Israel. He was governed by God. And yet there's this part of his life that is held out. It's holding off his absolute trust for God to work in his life. And I'll bet you there's something. I bet you there's a Benjamin or maybe Benjamin or two or three that is present in your life that's keeping you from really fully trusting in the Lord. And it's interesting because Jacob's at a place where he has to make a decision. I either, you know, get provision for my family, which we need, or we're going to die, and give up Benjamin, or we all die of this famine. That's the choice he's making. A tough choice. That's a tough place to be. Do I want the blessings, full blessings that God can give and relieving the famine and relieving these things in my life? Or do I want to cling to the thing that I believe is really getting me through life? Whatever that might be. I'm not sure what it is for you. I'm not sure what it is for all of us. But this is an important decision because Joseph, who's in Egypt, who's ruling over Egypt, Joseph is the answer to their problem. In the story, everybody, including Jacob now, and the brothers think that he is the problem. The man keeps telling us we got to bring Benjamin. That man in Egypt, he's the one that's bringing this problem around to us. And yet, they don't realize it, they don't see it, that he's going to be the answer to the problem. Why does he want Benjamin to come? Well, being such an awesome picture of Jesus Christ, Joseph knows that Jacob's going to feel like if he gives up Benjamin, he gives up everything. Is that what he wants for him? Yes, it is. Until Joseph puts this predicament before these guys, before Jacob, Jacob would never have quit trusting in his relationship with Benjamin, that it is the means of my life. Now that Joseph's gone, I've got Benjamin, he would never have relinquished that relationship in lieu of trusting God. Do you know that there's some blessed subtractions in our life? Sometimes the Lord takes things away. You know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some things are removed from our lives. And I used to struggle with this. And just like Jacob is here, Lord, why would you do that? Why would you take that away? And it always turns out the same. Just like we're going to find out in this story, God wanted me to trust him. I was putting too much trust in this or that or the other, and it was keeping me from actually putting all my faith, all my trust in the Lord himself. And you may not even realize it. I don't think Jacob ever realized that that was what he was doing. Like, I just love Benjamin. He's the son of my right hand. That's what Benjamin means. And it's going to kill him to have to send him to Egypt. But what a great picture this is. You know, our father, right, sent the son of his right hand to Egypt, to the world, didn't he? And did it grieve him to do it? Yeah, sure. But the result of that was we're all spared, we're all saved from the famine of life, that we were all starving to death and didn't even realize it. So what we're going to see here is that Joseph is going to fix the problem, but he also created the problem. This is one of those things that God does. It's kind of a mystery to us. He allows something so that he can fix something. He causes something to be difficult so he can meet the challenge for us. We tend to take it like, okay, now I have to fix this. Now I have to figure this out. Now I have to do this. And the Lord is saying, well, the whole point of this is that you trust me to do this. So he's going to have to do that. He's given up now his son, right, to send him to Egypt so we can see what's going to happen, I guess. We got to have food. Have you been brought to this point before? Have you been brought to a point where you had to give up something? Put too much hope in it, put too much trust in it, to bring you to that point where Jacob is here in our story? I have a memory that will never leave me. It'll never go away. And you have those certain things that you kind of want to forget them, but you can't. And the Lord allows things in our life and allows those things to still be present in our thinking, in our mind. And I always am reminded of this story when I think of that thing that happened. That it was for a reason. The Lord was using that thing to take me down, in a sense. Because as long as I had that, as long as I'm clinging to that, I'm never going to cling to him. I remember when we were starting this church, when the Lord kind of put that on my heart, it was a real wrestling match for me. Even though I knew the Lord was going to win the wrestling match, you know that, right? He's way stronger. But I had this vision as I was praying about having, you know, this whole adventure before me, moving over here, just leaving everything. It was kind of terrifying in some ways. But I had this vision of I'm hanging over a cliff, right? And I've got my hand on this branch that's sticking out of the rock. And I'm hanging on for dear life, right? Because it's a long ways down. And I'm hanging on, and all of a sudden I see someone peering over the edge of the cliff. And I look up, and it's Jesus, right? It's the Lord. I'm like, oh, hey, Lord. And he has his hand reached out. And so I'm hanging on and I'm trying to swing this hand up to grab his hand. And he said, I don't want that hand. I want the hand you're hanging on to the branch with. And I was like, Lord, let's be reasonable. This is a perfectly good hand right here, right? So you know what I'm saying here, right? I mean, I'm not about to let go of this. This is the only thing I have that's keeping me from falling. And yet the Lord's there saying, I need you to let go of that and grab my hand. I'll pull you up. And man, it just opened my eyes to a reality that I hadn't really realized. That's how I live. That's how I was living. Oh, yeah, Lord, you're there. But I'm not letting go of this, right? Oh, Lord, you're there. I'll pray for this and that and the other. But there's no way I'm letting go of this, right? So here's Jacob. He's got a lot of things in his life, a lot of things going on. But what's the one thing the Lord is asking him to give up? Benjamin! Have you ever come to the Lord and you've got your offerings, right? You come in prayer, you come in worship, maybe you study the word and you're like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna give you more of my heart. I'm gonna give you more of my life. And you start putting these things before the Lord. And that's great. That's fine. But there are times when I'm putting my things before the Lord like this. That, Lord, that is really special. Look at this. This was valuable to me. And I start putting everything out there, laying it out, thinking the Lord's being impressed. You know what the Lord does? What's behind your back? Nothing. There's nothing. I want that. Oh, Lord, you don't want that. Look at all these things. Look at how much time I spend in the Word. Just check it out. Check out how many times I've done good things, Lord. You know, I prayed with that brother the other day. That's worth something, right? And it's so interesting because this game goes on. And the Lord wants the very thing that you don't ever want to let go of. That is exactly what he wants. Now, what is that for you? I don't know. I do know this. I deal with this in my own life. I deal with this with people that hey, as long as I, for Jacob, as long as I have Benjamin, I'm good. Someone else might say, well, as long as I have this job, I'm good. Or this career. As long as I'm in this relationship, yeah, then I'll be all right. As long as I have my 401k, hopefully you're not dealing with that. Right? Putting any stock in that. Or as long as I have whatever, you fill in the blank. As long as this is going on, I'll be all right. But what if it's taken away, that thing? Then who do you trust? Then what do you trust? See, this is what's happening in the story. Now, what are you going to do, Jacob? Benjamin's now gone off to Egypt. Do you think Jacob's prayer life might have changed a little bit? Do you think he's pressing in more to the Lord when he watches Benjamin walk away? He has to. And I don't want to be forced into this any more than Jacob wanted to be. But the Lord will force that. He will push that button. He will make that happen. Boy, we don't like it when he does that. Jacob's not a happy camper. Oh, if I'm bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved. Okay, if that's the way it's going to be, I am going to be bummed. I'm having a pity party tonight. You know the thing about pity parties, right? Nobody else is invited to those. Not that anybody wants to come, right? Hey, come on over. I'm having a pity party tonight. Bring your own pity. Misery loves company, right? Come on over if you're miserable. We'll be miserable together. But the point is that now Benjamin's gone with his brothers. And now Jacob doesn't feel like he has anything left. I lost my oldest sister back in 1987. She was killed. And it was one of the hardest things ever to go through. And let me tell you something about the power of God, though. So that was the worst thing I'd gone through, worst thing I'd been through, right? Just unbelievably painful. And me and my wife both experienced such power from God during that time. It was nothing short of supernatural. And this was my oldest sister, you know, and hopefully my other sister's not listening, but she was my favorite sister. And my wife's favorite as well. I mean, she was just great. She was wonderful, fun, you know. And she was gone, right? And you know how that is when you lose a loved one? There's just like a hole in your soul. It's like there's an emptiness that just is overwhelming, really. And it's very painful. It's very, but this is the part that I believe is so key for us guys. And I hope we get this, but the hole that was created from the loss of someone we love so much gave the Lord the opportunity to fill that void. Not with someone else, not with something else, but with himself. And what we experienced when we were down in LA going through this with the rest of the family, and it was hard, it was really difficult, was we experienced such peace and power that I'll never forget it. And what the Lord did in us, filling us with his presence in such a way that, I mean, it transformed us. I'll just tell you, when we were flying down to LA on a plane, have to go down there now and deal with all this stuff. So my wife, Terry, she's just very emotional. She's just crying on the plane. And she looks over at me and she goes, I don't want to be like this when we go down there. I don't want to be a burden to the family. I want to be able to minister and be a help. And so we stopped right there on the airplane as we're flying down, and we prayed, Lord, help Terry. Help her to be strong in this time. This is so hard. It's going to be so challenging. Give her strength, whatever. Now, I just need to say this. When we were down there, we arrived down there, I looked over at my wife, what she's doing, and I don't know who she is. I don't recognize her. Why? Because she was a rock. She was taking care of everything, everyone. And I'm like, who is this woman? Right? Well, she was transformed. The Lord did a work in here, did something different in both of us. And I left out the part that 2 weeks before my sister was murdered, I pleaded with the Lord to deliver me from alcohol because I was a drunk. Alcoholic. 2 weeks earlier, He did it. I was free, right? And I'm just loving the fact that God's power delivered me from alcohol. And then this happens 2 weeks later. I always looked at that was as a proof, really, to me. The Lord proved to me that he actually did deliver me. Because during that whole time that my sister had died and this whole thing's going on, during that whole time, I never thought about drinking once. It was gone. So the Lord did a powerful work. He transformed my wife. Things are happening. We're experiencing power and peace like we never have. The hole, the void that was present because of the loss was filled up with the Lord. People say, well, that's not a very good story. I don't ever want to go through anything like that. I get it. Listen, nobody wants to go through anything difficult, and I don't wish that on anyone. If you've ever experienced that kind of loss and pain, it feels like somebody shot you in the chest. It hurts so bad. It's a physical pain, not just an emotional one. So I get it. Nobody wants to go through that. But to me, listen, I've never, ever doubted for a minute since then that God was absolutely real and that the Spirit of Jesus Christ can absolutely heal, take care of, empower in ways that nothing else can. Jacob. Benjamin, I'm watching Benjamin walk. Last time I watched my favorite son walk away, he never came home. And now he's watched Jacob, or he watched Benjamin walk out of his life, he thinks, right? But here's the thing. What's going to happen? You guys know the story probably. What's going to happen now that Benjamin's walked away and now he's in Egypt? Right? What's going to take place? Benjamin is going to meet Joseph. Joseph. Jacob thinks Joseph's dead. Oh, he's not dead. In fact, he's going to save the family. Here's the deal. Jacob's watching Benjamin walk away. Next time he sees Benjamin, right? Next time he sees Benjamin, he's also going to meet Joseph. He's not losing Benjamin. He's gaining Joseph back. The Lord's given him Joseph back, and he's always asking us, just let go of Benjamin. Let go of Ben, and I'll give you Joseph back. I'll fill your life back up. But not until you realize that the things you're clinging to are not the things that satisfy. They're not the things that make it okay. They're not the things you can depend on. Because, hey, people go. People die. People leave. It hurts. What are you going to do then? Now what are you going to do? Now that they're gone, or now that that thing's been taken from your life, what are you going to do now? Well, his hope is, obviously, you're going to trust him. I don't know what to do. That's a good place to be. He was like, it doesn't sound like a good place. I don't like the sound of it at all. I don't know what to do. But it's true, isn't it? I look at this world and I think, I don't know what to do. I'd like to fix things. You? I'd like to just fix everything. Make it right. I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. But there is a different way. There is a different avenue that we should be delving to make part of our life. What is that? Contentment. Being content with the way things are. Well, I'm never going to be content with that. Well, then you never be content with anything. People say, I can't be content these days. Well, then when will you be content? When everything's better? This is the whole crux of this. Only when I have this or only when I have that, is that when I'm okay? Is that when I'm content? Then your contentment and your hope and your faith and your rest are lying somewhere they don't belong. You're putting them on something that will never be able to pull that off. I mean, sure, I'd like to see gas prices drop. I'd like to see food be more affordable. I'd like to see a whole different world than we're seeing right now. I'd like to make everything different. However, I cannot believe for a moment that that's going to make me okay. If I'm not okay, I'm just not okay. And I can get a lot of mileage out of blaming things, like, right? You ever do that, right? Get a lot of, and it's a big distraction oftentimes from what's really going on. Oh, that's the problem. And I'll be miserable because of that. Watch and see. Yep. Well, why do you look like that? Because of this? That's interesting. I don't think that's really the truth. Of course it is. This is wrong, so this is why I act this way. This is wrong, this is why I'm so upset. This is wrong, that's why I'm the way I am. No, absolutely not true. You're the way you are because you're a wretch. I'm a wretch. In and of ourselves, we aren't okay. I remember when I was growing up, there was a book that came out. I'm okay, you're okay. Remember, anybody remember that one? You're old timers because that book came out in like the 60s, I think. I'm okay, you're okay. Is that true? No. It sounds good, but really the truth is what? I'm not okay, and neither are you. But if you want to add the full kind of context of what we know to be true as believers, as I'm not okay and neither are you, but that's okay because Jesus is okay. And I'm in Christ, therefore I'm okay. But guys, if I'm not in Christ, nothing's okay, never will be okay. Never will be all right, right? I'm so looking forward to looking at Jesus face to face and hearing him say, it's okay. What? You know how amazing that's going to be? He knows everything about you, right? Everything. All the details that nobody else will ever know. He knows them all. And when he looks at you one day and says, it's okay, you're going to melt like a puddle on the floor. Because that's all I'm really looking for. Now, in that context, we should be understanding that, living that today. Now, without Jesus, I'm not okay. With Jesus, I'm okay, even if everything else isn't okay. Joseph, you can be all right, even though Benjamin just walked into Egypt. You can be okay. And the Lord would show him that, take him through that process. You know, Jesus said in John 16, he said, in this world, you will have tribulation, trouble. You're going to have all kinds of issues that you're going to have to deal with in this world. Anybody relate to that one? Like, yeah, that's true. But Jesus also went on to say, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now that's the answer. This is the issue. I need Jesus because Jesus is the overcomer of the world. He overcame the world. Look at the story of Joseph here. Isn't this cool? Because Joseph gets sold into slavery, into Egypt, sold out by his own brothers. Just like Jesus was sent, right, to earth and sold out by his own brothers, the Jews. They rejected him, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, sold him, right? What an amazing picture. But what did Jesus do? He overcame the world. He overcame sin. He overcame the struggle that we have facing us eternal damnation. He overcame it. He overcame the world. And what did Joseph do in our story? Well, he got sent to Egypt, became a slave, right? Everybody thought he was dead. And what did he do? Well, he overcame. He's sitting there in the palace of Pharaoh, second in command of the entire nation. Again, the picture is so awesome to me. But Jesus is the answer, right? For some things? No. For everything. He's the answer for every problem, for every question. The trials that I go through, guys, the trials you go through, I want sympathy for them. You? I want you to sympathize with me. I want people to understand how hard life can be sometimes. You? But it's misguided because your sympathy, your concern, your care, I mean, I thank you for that, but it doesn't do anything. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't cure the problem. It doesn't help them. All it does is actually feed my sorrow. It justifies my sorrow. And when I go to Jesus Christ, when I go to the Lord with my issues, he doesn't sympathize. He takes it from me. He's not sympathizing with my problem. He says, why don't you give me your problem? Oh, you mean I don't have to carry it? No. Well, maybe just give me a little sympathy and I'll muddle through. I'll be able to carry it another couple of miles, right? No. Jesus says, if you're weary and heavy laden, come unto me. And I will give you rest for your soul. I will relieve you of that, not just sympathize with you over it. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He is the strong one. He's the one that can carry it, see? Jacob finally would realize later on in the story, I'll wrap up here, later on in the story, he'll discover that Joseph is alive. We don't hear this discussion between Jacob and his other sons when that's found out. But apparently, in the context of the story, as you read the rest of the chapters about this, you'll see that Joseph at one point finally reveals himself to his brothers. He tells them who he is. And they are just obviously stunned and fearful. He's the second in command of Egypt, and we sold him into slavery. But when he reveals himself to his brothers, in fact, before he revealed himself to his brothers, while he's just meeting with them, and he sees Benjamin that got brought back, when he sees them, he has to go out of the room, go into another chamber, and weep. He's so overcome with the joy of seeing his brothers and his younger brother, Benjamin. He has to go out of the room and cry for a while and then come back in and put himself together, right? He has nothing in him that is bitter or angry, enraged. He could be, he should be, perhaps some people would say, but he doesn't. Which to me, now listen, this is why it's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. It's not something else. This is why Benjamin won't do. This is why anything else won't do. Because when I am filled with this grief and sorrow and tribulation and trial, when I go to him, there is nothing but grace and mercy. Just like Joseph showed to his brothers. He fell on them and wept with them when he revealed himself to them. He clung to them and said, you know, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. mean, all those years you were in slavery and in prison, and that was our fault, and now you're saying, don't worry about it? Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm good. You meant it for evil, but it's okay. God meant it for good. I'm okay. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today? How are you doing? I bet if we would go around with supernatural powers and just pull out that information out of each person, we'd probably see a whole gamut of different things. But I believe the one thing that God would be interested in today is Benjamin. He wants your Benjamin. I want you to pray about that today. Just pray that in. Lord, what is that for me? Maybe you already know what it is. Maybe you already have a good idea of what that might be. But I want you to pray about that, because to enjoy the fullness that Jacob is going to enjoy here, having Joseph back, having this family restored, having all these wonderful things, blessing his life again and again now for ages to come, he had to give up Benjamin first. Or else this other part doesn't happen. You with me? I have to give up Benjamin first before the other things really are able. The Lord wants to bless me. He doesn't want me to be miserable. He doesn't want me to be stressed. He doesn't want me filled with anxiety and worry and fretting. And as long as something is in place that I am putting some kind of hope in or trust in or relying on for something that only God can do, then the other part can't really be fulfilled. I can only go so far. Anybody like in that place? I'll be honest, there are times when I experience this fully. I've only gone so far. Right? Anybody else? Like I go this far, but that's it. Some of you are really spiritual. I've gone all the way. I'm there, in fact. You know, I love it when Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, look, I don't want you to think I've achieved this. I don't want you to think I've arrived. I'm not like a spiritual giant, Paul was saying. He said, but I am pressing on. I'm leaving what's behind. I'm going forward. I'm going that direction. I want to go further and further, because every one of us would have to say, yeah, I get to a place where I only go so far. There are some things that are breakthroughs. My sister's death and what happened as a result of that in me and my wife was a milestone. It was a breakthrough in some ways. It was tragic. It was radical, but it was a breakthrough. You know, I've often shared, if you want to have a breakthrough, you might have to have a breakdown. Huh? I want a breakthrough, Lord. I want to have a breakthrough in this and that. Well, you might have to break down. If you haven't had a breakdown, you know what a breakdown is, right? It's broken. You're broken. You break down. If you haven't ever had a breakdown, I'd highly recommend it. Just encourage that. Just go ahead and reach the end of the line and just have a breakdown. There's times in my life where I've just wanted to stop you and just sit down and say, I'm done. Not doing life anymore. I'm finished. I'm just going to sit right here and let the world go by because I'm done. It doesn't work, right? But that's kind of what a breakdown is. Okay, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to fall apart. Go ahead, fall apart. That's when the Lord can put you together. He can heal you. That's when he can take things and restore them. It's a amazing thing that God wants us to be like him. He wants us to enjoy all the things he enjoys. You know, we sing those songs, right? Lord, Lord, make me more like you. And, you know, purify my heart. I want to be like Jesus. You know, these songs are great, but listen to me. If we want to be like the Lord, then we have to be like the Lord. And there were things that Jesus suffered for me. And there will be things that I have to go through in order to reach a place where the Lord wants me to go. And honestly, guys, the whole story of Jacob and giving up Benjamin and all that, it was a breakdown for Jacob that led to a breakthrough in his life. He got Joseph back and he got everything squared away in a way that he never would have otherwise. Who is it? What is it today? I just want to pray about that. Let's just pray. God, thank you. Thank you for life. And Lord, I thank you for everything that involves that. Sometimes it's really rich. It's really good. It's really awesome. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's super difficult. Sometimes it feels like you got a hole inside your heart and it's just a void. And God, I thank you even for those times because we see your power working in ways that we never could have otherwise. And today, Lord, we're just here and wanting to just respond to you. Just, Lord, what do you want to show us? Reveal perhaps to us. Maybe there's a Benjamin that we're relying on. Maybe there's something else that we're putting our trust and hope in. Maybe there's something that you want to break through with us. And so I pray this is perhaps you're revealing those things. We're going to acknowledge, confess them, and let them go. Let them go. Let them not be in that place where only you belong. So I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray today for anyone in this place, Lord, or anybody who's watching online, that Lord, if they haven't reached that point where they're ready to receive you, that you'd be pulling on their heartstrings, Lord, and wooing them and drawing them, showing them that there is really only one way to heaven. There's really only one source of real strength and power. There's only one God. And Lord, you have revealed that. You have shown that. But I pray for someone, perhaps those that maybe have not acknowledge that, have not come to that place, that you would draw them to there. Draw them to that place, and may they let go of their life and receive yours for them. Jesus, we know that's your desire, and we know, Lord, that you have a plan for each one of us. So we're grateful for that. But Lord, as we go our way today, we pray that your spirit would just continue to reveal in your word what it is you want us to know today. We give you thanks for that. Give you praise for that. And Lord, knowing that the gospel is so easy, Lord, it's just asking Jesus to forgive our sin and come into our heart. And Lord, you will do that. Simple. Simple. Anyone can ask. Anyone can ask you and you'll never turn anyone away. What a great promise. So we commit that to you, Lord. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. So if you're here and you need prayer for anything at all, there'll be some folks up front here that you can come up and ask for prayer. Or if you want to know more about how to receive Christ, they'll be happy to tell you that as well. The baptism broke this week. So we don't have the baptism available today, unfortunately, but we will have it up and running, I think, again next week since we get on that. So, but, you know, if you really want to get baptized, I'll be happy to walk down to the beach with you. It will be refreshing for sure. 54 degree water. Right? If I'm going to get in, you should be able to get in. Right? No. Hey, bless you guys. Lord loves you so much. He loves you so much. He died for you. He wants you to have the most that you can possibly have in life. You know that? He's given you every opportunity. So the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless. Have a great week.